Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of health, wellness, peace, liberation, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I am very thrilled and honored that we are joined by Stella Paris, and Stella is joining us via Skype in West Midlands, England. Stella Paris is an actress, singer-songwriter, vegan activist. She is multilingual and an international traveler. She's very courageous, noble, and compassionate. Welcome, Stella, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Hello. Hi, Marlene. I'm so happy to be talking to you finally.
Yes. The last I saw on social media that you were sitting in Snibs Cave in Scotland.
Yes, I was shooting the music video over there. And actually, I came across Snibs Cave by chance. Well, we were shooting the music video in Scotland, but obviously I don't know my whereabouts over there. I just love how magical it is. I love the Celtic vibes and everything. And, I love the nature and the ocean and the sea. I just find it so healing. So we were only going to shoot on the shores, on the actual beach. But then I met some locals in the small village, and they told me about Snibs Cave, and they told me the history about it, and they told me that for 3 decades it was inhabited by a hermit. And, well, I went to explore it, and it was perfect. So we shot there as well.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Love following your travels.
I was in Florida for a long time, and I was looking for a business there. I was there for like 6 months. I was in Ecuador. I was in Galapagos. Then I came to UK. Then I went to Crete. And then I went up to Scotland to film the music video. But my actual house is in the West Midlands. And I'm originally from Malta, from the Maltese Islands.
So I'm really excited about this. Let's start.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, good. Let's start out with food, talking about food, especially that you are an international traveler. And so Here you are, still a vegan through and through.
Yes, 8 years. 8 years now.
Wonderful.
I travel all over. This year I've been to Ecuador, to Galapagos. I spent a lot of time in Florida because I was actually looking for my new business, my new vegan business, which will be a pub and a restaurant. And yeah, I've been to Crete this year, back home in Malta to see my parents.
Ooh. listening to Stella Paris, To the Animals.
You know, Michael and Terry, they own the Las Aguas Risas vegan community, right? Where they are conserving 100 acres of land of rainforest in Ecuador.
Yes, they are totally awesome.
They're the ones who introduced me to you. So I spent a month with them there. And obviously, oh my God, Terry was cooking food from scratch. Like, she makes her own tofu and everything. She's so, so good. Such a good chef, honestly.
We're listening to Stella Paris, an actress, singer-songwriter, and vegan activist, an international traveler. You tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. And now we'll continue our conversation with Stella Paris.
Unfortunately, in mainland Ecuador, if you are not in a main city, it's very hard to find vegan food in restaurants. Their cuisine is very meat-based, and it's not like Indian or Sri Lankan cuisine where they make really nice stews with lentils, chickpeas, vegetables. And imagine, right, I'm not like trying to moan here or anything, but you've got the Amazonian rainforest, you've got so many vegetables, herbs and spices, and they're not putting them to use like the Indians and the Sri Lankans do. So you won't find like a vegetable stew in the Ecuadorian cuisine when you're passing through villages. You just have to stick with juices, fried plantain, fried cassava, boiled potatoes. When you go to Ecuador and you're out of the city, you really have to plan ahead. You do have to plan ahead. But remember, for me, it was not an issue because most of the time I was at the vegan community. It was easy in the vegan community because once a week we used to go shopping in the village next to us. It was 1 hour's drive away. We used to go every Monday. I used to go with Terry and Michael. And she used to buy the fruit and the vegetables. And she also used to bake her own bread as well, because the bread in Ecuador, you can't trust it because sometimes they use donkey fat. So she made her own bread and she did it very quickly and easily. She made tofu from scratch. She made lots of stews, lots of nice curries. She even made vegan cakes. The fruit there is what is magical about Ecuador. You have so many fruit there. I've tasted some fruit that I had never heard of before, and I got addicted to it. And there was so then I went back to Florida and they had this fruit, and I was paying so much money to get it. It was it was called a tree tomato. I got obsessed about the tree tomatoes. Have you ever had them, Marlene?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, they're really, really nice. I don't know. It's just really the taste really satisfied me.
Oh, good. Thank you. And also thanks to Michael and Terry at Laughing Waters Vegan Community in Ecuador.
Oh, yeah. They're doing really great work there.
Stella, what are some of your favorite vegan foods?
So my favorite food definitely has to be Tofu. I love tofu for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. I love scrambled tofu. I love it in stews and curries. I like it like salt and pepper, like fried tofu style. You can do so much with tofu, and it's got so much protein in it. I just fell in love with it. I'm like tofu obsessed. Yeah, I also like tempeh as well. Tempeh is really high in protein too, and it's a source for vitamin B12. And I also eat a lot of seaweeds. So here in UK, I eat a lot of what is called samphire, and I make a reference to it in my song By the Sea. And I also eat other seaweeds as well, like wakame and nori. Yeah.
Oh, great. Thank you. Stellar, I'd also like to hear about your upcoming protest and vegan event in Liverpool.
Yes, so I am joining this organization called Speciesism.wtf and an artist called Stephanie Lane, and she does art installations that put humans in the position of animals. So, for instance, on Saturday, we are doing this protest, which is called Fishing is Not Humane. Me and some other protesters, we are going to lie on the floor, on the ground. We're going to have nets over us, and we're going to be wearing like skin colored like outfits. And then there's going to be a person on a megaphone speaking out ironical and sarcastical stuff about fishing. And obviously, people around giving leaflets and explaining why fishing is not humane. And the reason why I'm doing this, first of all, I've been following speciesism.wtf for a very long time, and I've seen them travel around the world and do these different protests. They've done the milk is not humane, and I'm sure you've seen it, Marlene, where the ladies, they are wearing like foil on their breasts, and it mimics them being milked, and they've got blood and mud on there to show what cows go through in the dairy industry. So, I really like how they bring art together with protesting and speaking up for the animals, kind of similar to how I did with my song. And I wanted to join them, so I messaged them, I reached out, and I thought, yes, fishing is not humane. I really want to speak up for the fish and the marine animals. I have a lot of love for fish, for octopus, for lobsters. I really love, the animals underwater. They are so misunderstood. Just like us, they have a nervous system, a circulatory system, a digestive system. And so, just like us, they feel pain. And I have first-hand experiences with fish because I went snorkeling in several places, and I connected with fish. Yes, I connected with fish. And some people look at you and think that you're high or something. But I had fish following me underwater, like puppies, rubbing themselves against me like a school of fish. And they came to play with me, and I grabbed some sand and some empty seashells, and I rubbed them in my hand, and they came to see what I was doing. And I was humming for them and making like a special underwater sound with my hand and the shells, and they came to see. So it is very obvious that fish have feelings, and I have started reading a book by Jonathan Falcom, and it's called What a Fish Knows. And I mean, I've been vegan for 8 years, but I was astounded by the things that I didn't even know. Like a sturgeon can live up to 120 years, lobsters live up to 100 years. And these people, they just buy a lobster, like a luxury, and they don't care for his or her life. And you've just stolen God knows how many years of a sentient being's life. It's very selfish. It's disgusting. I find it very disgusting, and it really angers me when people say posting reels and showing reels about how they cook lobsters and crabs and just any animal, you know, any animal. And another thing that I try to explain to people is try and be more empathic and try to visualize, try to imagine what it would feel like if you were a fish. You're basically going to have a hook pierced through your lip. Then you're going to be reeled up out of the water. Everything is going to go blurry because obviously your eyes are meant to see underwater, not above. Then you're not going to be able to breathe. And so imagine all of those elements together. And fish struggle for life for a very long time. Some of them struggle until their lungs collapse for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but some even up to an hour or more. And a lot of people don't know this. And another thing is that fishing kills other animals as well. So these things about people not like thinking about animals and being selfish, and even fishing, like they do it as a hobby. It just really, really annoys me. So it's nice to be able to do this on Saturday because I'm actually doing something which is organized and I'm not quarreling and arguing with anyone. You know what I mean?
You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Stella Paris. We're listening to her song, By the Sea.
And I also eat a lot of seaweeds. So here in UK, I eat a lot of what is called samphire, and I make a reference to it in my song, By the Sea. Take me where.
Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts, and we're joined by Stella Paris in West Midlands, England. She's just amazing, just amazing. Oh, so I'm so grateful. Thanks again, Stella, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Take my hand and jump with me. Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And I want to say a big gratitude to you for your courage and your noble activism of speaking out as a vegan activist for vegan advocacy on your platform. Let's hear about that.
Yeah, so I have quite a few followers on Instagram. Currently, it's at 340,000. Well, about a year and a half ago, I decided I wanted to be more of a transparent page. I wanted to be posting more of what goes in my mind and what I really am passionate about. I used to post more about like my modeling stuff and like simple captions and stuff like that. But I'm a very deep person and I do care about the animals very much. And I had mentioned veganism along the years, but I used to drip drop it. And then there was a point where I was like, you know what? I don't give two flying hoots anymore of what anyone thinks. If they want to leave, they can unfollow me. But I want to speak for the animals and this is what I'm going to do. Because otherwise, if I can't post what I want on my page, then what is the point of having it? Otherwise, just not post anything at all, you know? That is how I felt. So last year I started by taking part in an outreach. I organized that protest myself. It was outside a really horrible place in England. It's a beagle puppy farm. And they basically sell the beagle puppies to UK laboratories for animal research. I learned about this place. I didn't even think that animal research was a thing anymore in UK, and I didn't even think that they tested on beagles. And I was shocked and horrified. And I learned about this from some customers who came to my vegan restaurant last year. So I sat down with them and I said, well, this can't keep going on. I need to do something about it. I need to tell people, because I'm sure that if I didn't know, then most of the people in UK don't know, right? So I contacted what is called Can Beagle. My customers were part of this organization called Can Beagle, and they've been camping. Now they've been camping outside the puppy farm for 3 years. They've been camping for 3 years on the road. So I decided to organize this protest together with Can Beagle. And yeah, it felt really good to be able to do something about it, to be able to speak up, especially because the parliamentary petition was coming up, the UK parliamentary petition, which was asking for the government to prioritize non-animal methods and to ditch the animal research, because it's the government, the UK government, that keeps these places going, because they keep funding them. That is the issue. And the protest went really well. We had the workers. Yeah, at one point it was a bit scary, because they employ these tough-looking guys wearing huge sunglasses and wearing face masks. So they're not really brave. They're just to hide behind sunglasses and a face mask and attack women who are trying to make a change. And they called us sluts. They called us freaks. But the protest made an impact because it caught the attention of the UK newspapers. Not much has been changed. But, you know, slowly, we can't give up. We cannot give up, you know. By little, we will get there. Yeah, and then I did another protest. We went to London in Downing Street, where the Prime Minister lives. It's very chaotic over there. We basically sat on the floor and we meditated, whereas others held placards and spoke to people.
Thank you, Stella. I do believe that you are powerful and significant in transforming this earthly paradigm from a carnist, violent, exploitative paradigm into the new vegan paradigm of nonviolence, of justice. So thank you.
Oh.
And beauty.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you.
Speaking of creativity, let's hear about your songs.
Yes. So in summer, actually on National Animal Rights Day, I released To the Animals. And a couple of weeks ago, I released By the Sea.
Thank you. And congratulations. And so, again, I appreciate you sharing. And even when you shared your information about things you've experienced with anxiety, depression, and then also in relationships with betrayal and deception. Your experience is that a lot of women, even worldwide, experience similar type things happening. And I believe, again, a lot of chaos or disharmony is from being in a non-vegan paradigm, because I'm a believer in the boomerang effect, also called As We Sow, We Reap, through quantum vibrations, energy. And I know that you're into the spirituality too.
Yes,
so you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And so I really believe that as we transform into a vegan paradigm, that the vices that are founded upon misogyny, oppression, violence, exploitation, slavery, and discrimination will eventually dissolve and be replaced by a new paradigm of peace and justice. But Stella, we're coming to a close in the interview for today. What websites or any contact information would you like to share with our listeners?
So all of my music is on Spotify and Apple Music. My Instagram page is Miss Stella Paris. And I love sharing my reels and my music. And you know, all my creative stuff to make others feel happy. I like to share my past experiences so that if someone out there maybe is going through the same thing or feeling the same thing, then they don't feel alone and they can feel free to express themselves and to feel part of something, to feel loved. That's basically my my wish. And of course, my biggest wish ever would be for the whole world to go vegan. The animals are always on my mind. They're always in my thoughts. I'm always thinking, is that vegan? Is that vegan?
Mm-hmm.
Like looking at close and like, okay, I have to ask, is that vegan? Are you sure it's not made of wool? Are you sure it's not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That is my priority. So even with makeup, for example, I always make sure that the product is vegan, but also that it is cruelty free. So there's no animal research.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Marlene. Thank you.
I greatly appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you as well. Thank you.
And much thanks also to our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Let's go out with more music from Stella Paris. Much thanks for tuning in to Vegan Nation. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a peaceful, joyous, lovely day. Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, freedom, justice, health, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station or its management. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm thrilled that we're joined by Matthew Sikora in Colorado. Matthew is joining us via Skype in Colorado. We'll be discussing some of the ways veganism, authentic veganism, can stop the violence that's been happening worldwide and continues to happen.
Where's all the leaders? Come out of hiding. Where's all the teachers? We need you now. To all the healers, this is a calling. This world is slipping into darkness.
We're listening to Leaders by Mike Love, the vegan musician.
Oh, It's okay. It's gonna be alright. Mommy's here. Please don't cry. It's gonna be okay. Mommy's here. It's okay.
It's okay.
Where's all the leaders? Come out of hiding. Where's all the teachers? We need you now. To all the healers, this is a calling. This world is sleeping into darkness. Where's all the lovers? Come out and dance now. Too many haters are running amok. There's children starving, people are thirsty, the politicians just don't give a f***. Where's all the forests? They're disappearing, they're making way for factory farms. And this wrong direction is so crystal clear, but they just refuse to heed the alarms. But mama's angry, don't mess with mama. There's only so much that she can take. But like a spoiled child, we keep on pushing, pushing, but how long before she breaks? And all these fast cars, smartphones and fast food are pushing us faster until the end. And would we trade them just for a moment? Our brighter future for our children. Where's all the leaders? You come out of hiding. Where's all the teachers? We need you now. To all the healers, this is a calling. This world is slipping into darkness.
Welcome, Matthew, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Happy Selection Day.
Yes. November 5th.
November 5th. So we can only hope that there hasn't been any kind of distractions on the news, and hopefully our lives have gone on normal, but we continue to grow and change the world for better and not be kind of misled down the wrong paths. And thank you for having me today. This is, I think, my second or third time with you, and my wife's gotten to speak with you, and it's such an honor and a privilege. And I just wanted to share some thoughts with you today that don't necessarily reflect your views or vegans' views in general. I wanted to start off talking about veganism. Such what a wonderful thing it is for you and I and many of your listeners, and just how it's so obvious to us and it's so pure and true. I have a feeling that I'm starting to see, like, in the vegan community, that I think sometimes what could be preventing its mass adoption is our ability as vegans as a whole to continue to question things and continue to look deeper into things and truly see that maybe we live in a slightly inverted world, where many of us just kill animals, even though they love animals. And that's backwards.
The laboratory animal and the lab animal breeding facilities is something that has been ignored by all, almost all, you know?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And, you know,
listening to Matthew Sikora, a vegan activist in Colorado. Matthew Sikora studied at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. He was a communications officer in the United States Air Force, stationed in Italy. He obtained his master's degree in Washington, D.C., and after a tour with the Defense Intelligence Agency, he taught computer science at the United States Naval Academy. During his time at the academy, he became a vegan. He then spent 5 years working for federal law enforcement in Jackson, Mississippi, and bringing vegan advocacy to Mississippi. Matthew is a computer scientist and software engineer. Matthew loves questioning everything. Matt, along with his yoga teacher wife, and their two born and raised vegan unvaccinated children and two vegan dogs enjoy the outdoors and traveling. Thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We're listening to the music of Mike Love, and now we'll continue our conversation with Matthew Segura.
I believe that vegans drop the ball with COVID with when it comes to animals, because suddenly it was like, I'm scared and therefore I can justify exploitation now. And that's not the way of veganism. Like, I mean, I think that's something that the vegan community needs to own up to and admit to. I don't know if they will or not. And then, you know, I don't know if you've ever had people talk about terrain theory versus virology. Have you had any talks about that?
A little bit. I would love to delve into that more. Will Tuttle has talked a little bit about that, and also David Jardina.
Oh, great. Okay, good. So, yeah.
Carrie Plummer, too.
Oh, good. Carrie Plummer. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's fascinating because, I mean, we need to make it a data point to be like, hey, in the future, if we ever get scared about something, it doesn't mean we can justify compromising our values. Like, these values are supposed to be true forever, and that's what makes them important. And I understand that, like, we get scared, but there was still enough people, enough vegans saying, don't be scared. Think of the animals in the laboratories. Think of the ones that are being used to make vaccines. Like, put yourself in their position. We as vegans need to be thinking deeper and critically and not get scared of the word conspiracy theorist, because if we do, we'll ultimately end up compromising our vegan values against our own, you know, liking.
I really appreciate you joining us, Matt. Thank you so much. And also for your beautiful, comprehensive, thorough bio and your transparency. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm very honored to have two children that were conceived, born, and raised vegan and unvaccinated. And it's been a joy. It's been what I think most people throughout time have experienced with children, is just in general, children in the human body has this ability to survive and adapt and not get sick. And I hope that this inspires some mothers out there and fathers that are having questions about this, that just know that for a majority of humanity's existence, that we have lived very healthy, unvaccinated, and getting all the appropriate amino acids through plant nutrition, we can grow as strong as a gorilla and as big as an elephant. Not really, but you know, you get the point that we can thrive on plant-based foods.
Thank you, Matthew. And to your beautiful wife, Alyssa.
Thank you. She says hello. And yes, I've learned so much from her, and I'm very blessed and lucky to be with someone who's so willing to talk and share and learn and grow and teach.
Yes. Right after hearing a snippet of this song by Mike Love, we'll hear from Matthew Segura discussing controversial subjects, often censored, but are very important in the vegan circle.
Just today.
Matthew talking about his reaction when he initially hears something that is controversial.
And to be honest with you, anytime I've heard any of this stuff, like, I immediately, my body shuts down and says, like, you're an a-hole for bringing this up. I don't want to talk to you. You know, like, I don't know why my body does that. But it's like, how many times did I heard the vegan message before I was ready for it type thing, and I just dismissed it. And so it's like, I get it. Like, I've learned to accept people just rejecting. And I hope that hopefully a listener tonight is maybe like, oh, Matt, you're way wrong on this. And then actually goes back and does some research and comes back and says, oh, okay, I kind of see where you're coming with that. And the implications, if that's true, are so big that we do need to sit down and have a big conversation and how to reach people and how to get them to think about this.
Thank you.
Cool.
Yes, I believe that is the foundation of the vegan movement, is to question the mainstream narrative. That is the core of veganism.
Yeah, that certainly is. And that's what probably got all of us to really go vegan, is we probably heard something and then we said, that can't be true. And sure enough, we went and looked into it. And after some deep soul searching, we probably all came to the same conclusion. The same reason that non-vegans don't take the time to question and go deeper, it's very possible that as vegans, we're being misled, whether it's our egos or just we're distracted or some other things, from looking into other truths that are highly interconnected to veganism. So, for example, there's a general taboo out there of being associated negatively with the term conspiracy theorist, which many of you may know that was the term coined by probably the CIA themselves to discredit people who are questioning too deep. So they wanted a negative taboo, and it's used so often. And your listeners have probably saw this during COVID. The COVID narrative really woke people up, because we started to see things that were like, the news was saying something and we were seeing something different in the world. And we had the internet, we were looking at dancing doctors, and we were looking at hospitals that were not overcrowded. But then the news said millions of people were dying on the streets, and we're like, something is really off with this. So as a vegan, I think as vegans, we need to try to work to get past the idea of being called conspiracy theorists. And in fact, I think it's a title of honor and not something of shame. Like, and you shouldn't be afraid of letting that damage or tarnish veganism, because in fact, so many people are waking up to different things that they'll want to see you as the vegan already waking up to these truths. And that way they can associate those with, oh, this person also knows veganism too. And this is true for many of some great people that I've come to learn that I've completely disagreed with them on a far out topic that I was like, nah, man, you're nuts, but at least you're vegan. And then it's like, finally, I got past that mental block or the ego or whatever. I went into it and I went to disprove it once and for all. And sure enough, I came out the other side, a believer in that. And that just reinforced the idea of like, oh, wow, okay, he's vegan too, or she's vegan too. This is amazing. The truth is out there. It is. It's not relative. It's subjective. So we can reach that, and we can continue to work for that. And I want to challenge the listeners today to do that, to like step into a uncomfortable zone with some stuff that we're going to talk about. And the first time I've heard many of the things that I talk about, it gives me that awkward feeling in my stomach that is just like, no, I don't want to hear this. This is what crazy people talk about, or this can't be true because my uncle worked on a thing that did this thing. And we always have these mental things that like, you know, hide us, but we're going to get past that today. We're going to get uncomfortable, and then you're going to go and do your own research, and you're going to go dive into it, and you're going to go disprove the crazy vegan Matt and say like, he's wrong because of this. And maybe we come to the same conclusions, just like I have.
We're listening to Matthew Sikora, a vegan activist in Colorado, USA. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Matthew Sikora. Much thanks to Mike Love for sharing his music. Mike Love is a vegan from Hawaii. We're listening to Mike Love's new album, Leaders, released on July 5th, 2024. This is Children of the Heart. We'll be right back. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Nero, in Worcester, Massachusetts. And now we're continuing our conversation with vegan activist Matthew Sikora in Colorado.
Let's jump into chemtrails, which is what we've spoken about previously, and that's a great topic. You know, it's so obvious to look at the skies today and say, like, oh, those skies are way different than the skies we grew up in the 80s. And the technology of the engine didn't change enough rapidly to be like, oh, now they spit out stuff before they didn't. Like, and anyone who says that, I think it's just in delusion. So many governments and countries around the world have stepped up and recently admitted weather modification is real. Here in Colorado, we do use weather modification to get snow on the mountains, whether it's a form of radioactive particleization of they have antennas on the ground and they spray stuff in the sky and it helps create water and freezes and makes snow. Like, that's weather modification. It's not a bad idea to question chemtrails and look at the skies and be like, hey, what is really going on here? So chemtrails is an easy one that we should all look at and question. And you shouldn't feel like you're betraying anyone by looking into that. Because I know a lot of people, when you first get into that, you're like, oh, but if they were real, my mom or grandma would have told me about that. And that makes, you know, I don't want them to be a liar. Well, don't worry. They didn't know. Like, a lot of people, a lot of us don't know. We're all growing in this together. A very tied to chemtrails is the idea of weather modification. And recently, whether it's the fires in Hawaii or the hurricanes in North Carolina, 300 miles inland, we have to start questioning what's going on here. For many of you who don't know about the North Carolina hurricanes, there was a large deposit of lithium found in that area. And sure enough, there were a lot of people not willing to give up their land rights and the land property value and blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, we get this hurricane that, if equivalent, just to put it into perspective, is if this hurricane hit the coast of California, it would have reached Las Vegas. And that's almost unheard of in hurricane history. So it gets really interesting. And we could start to question, it's like, if we can make it snow in Colorado and we can do other chemtrails, can we control hurricanes? Can we create them? Can we steer them? Can we do all these things? It's a good question to ask, and we shouldn't be afraid to ask that. And we need to continue to investigate the truth, because the truth should be able to stand up to questions. Just as a little exercise in uncomfortableness, I want to open up another idea. How many of your listeners have heard of the Federal Reserve? Most people, at least where I was for a majority of my life, you know, adult life, it was just like, oh, it's a big white building in DC that does something with money. And that was the extent of my kind of knowledge of it. And it wasn't until recently, I think I watched the movie called Zeitgeist. It challenged me on the idea of the Federal Reserve, and it taught me that it's a private bank. And I thought, no, that it's not a private bank because of the name, Federal Reserve. So people are waking up and starting to question, what is money? What is the Federal Reserve? Who's really in charge? Surprisingly enough, there have been politicians in the past that have started to challenge it. Most famously is Ron Paul, who, like him or hate him or whatever, at least he's bringing this awareness to the American people, the public. The Federal Reserve lends money to large corporations like BlackRock at 1%, while it loans money to the American people at interest rates like 7%. And why that's problematic is because we know and we're hearing about these ideas of these large corporations buying up all our land and owning houses and having us to live, you know, in more of a society where we have less rights. And that should be alarming as any person who values rights and is concerned about that. So that's something to consider thinking about looking into.
Matthew.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I also viewed the Zeitgeist trilogy many years ago, and my first exposure to Ron Paul was many years ago with watching a documentary called America: Freedom to Fascism by Aaron Russo. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That's fantastic. And the fact that, like, it makes you wonder, like, how his words never penetrated the consciousness of Americans before. And I think we're seeing it in real time today of the reason why is because we are seeing past the censors. We're seeing past the mainstream censors. We're getting into smaller circles with better communication, with more podcasters like yourself, reaching more people. And people are like turning off the news because they're starting to see things. For example, this is another great point, is how many people knew that a third skyscraper fell on 9/11, 2001? Not many people. And if you had asked me, you know, shortly after it for the preceding, you know, 10 to 15 years, I would have said, no, two towers, the Pentagon in Pennsylvania. And a third tower, a third skyscraper, 40 stories big? No way. That's not possible. But yet it did. And how many people? And then we have to ask ourselves, how did we not even know about that? But then once we go into that space, it gets really interesting because of the level of manipulation and brainwashing it does to convince people that this happened for a logical reason, which it's very obvious in that case that it was not what they say it was, at the very least.
Matthew, yes, when you said that, how did we not know about that? I had an immediate thought, again, relating it to veganism. I have met PhDs and even rocket scientists who did not know that dairy is breast milk.
I'm so glad you brought that up. That's a brilliant point. How can a rocket scientist think that a female cow naturally produces milk without having to give birth? Like, it's such a silly thing to even consider. How are medical doctors after heart surgery prescribing steak and eggs? How do pilots not know about 9/11? And the implications of these things are so huge. We need to talk about, like, the Rockefellers in Western medicine. Many of you may not know that, like, the Rockefellers basically bought what is considered Western medicine today to just basically sell drugs. They established the curriculum, the titles, the accrediting system, all that to become like Western doctors. We need to start looking at the people actually questioning things. We need the world full of podcasters like yourself out there really questioning and bringing truth and having conversations with people.
Where's all the leaders? Come out of hiding. Where's all the teachers? We need you now. To all the healers, this is a calling. This world is slipping into darkness.
Let's hold hands and go and find truth together. Let's start from the basics. Let's start at, like, looking at animals in the eyes and saying, do we need to kill him or her so we can live? No, we don't. Okay, veganism, that's a moral baseline. That's a baseline of how we move forward. And it only builds on from there. So I'm sorry that was a lot, but yeah, we definitely have to talk about the implications of these large truths. Since it is Election Day, or as I call Selection Day, we should talk about how and why we have political debates in this country and discussions. And I'm not talking about the discussions that we see on television. I'm talking about the discussions that we have within our families and our communities. When we get all emotional and we start talking about, oh, you got to vote for this person because of this. Well, as a vegan, we need to ask the question, hey, which candidate is the vegan candidate? Which candidate is voting to liberate animals and end animal exploitation? Well, none of them are. Okay, well then if I vote for either one of those candidates who don't acknowledge animal rights as a fundamental thing, I'm basically voting and saying animal rights are not important to me. Now, I want you to really think about that, and I want folks to really think about this, because right now we're caught in this trap of voting for the lesser of two evils and worried about that. But every time we look at these politicians, both Trump and Harris, and we say, what are their positions on animal exploitation? Okay, they're both non-vegans. And even if they talk about slightly better welfare, that's not veganism at all. Neither of those candidates care about that. They're both pro-war. They're both pro-meat and dairy. They're both pro-vaccine. They believe the same thing about the Federal Reserve. They both believe the official 9/11 narrative. They both sit down to meat and dairy. Then it doesn't really matter. What matters to us are these topics and the implications of all these grand lies that hold up the fabric of our false reality that ultimately give these people the power that they continue to hold over us. And the only thing that will liberate us and is more information, more discussions, more stepping into these uncomfortable spots. And that's where I'm trying to get to. And I think that's where many of us on the internet in the world and through conversations and reading are getting to, is that we're starting to see that perhaps we have been lied to on such a grand scale that we can't even fathom it. And this is great news because now we can build the truth together. I hope to see in the future that, like, by default, everything is vegan, because we're not in a place to become the very things that we're fighting against.
We're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners?
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for bearing with me. Just know that where I'm coming from is goodwill, and I just want peace and nonviolence and the pursuit of happiness. And just for all the peoples and human and non-human peoples across our reality. My email is mattbrentsikora@gmail.com. I definitely want to grow the truther/vegan community. It does get very hot in there sometimes because it's very easy to get into a disagreement in the truther community of different events and different things. And it's a very hot spot. But when we approach it, that we recognize that we're all coming with good intention, then we can find the words to grow together. And so if you want to be a part of that vegan/truther community, please reach out to me and let's help continue to network and grow and bring the message of veganism as a moral imperative.
Thank you, Matthew Sikora.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on. And I'm so thankful for the work that you're doing. And so I appreciate that.
Thank you, Matthew. Much thanks to our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station or its management. Please join us again next week. At the same time, you can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Wishing you all a peaceful, lovely day.